Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Hold up your Bible. You got it. I know you do because I reminded you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you it's truth and power. We thank you, your word. Let's say this. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word is a light unto my path. Did I say that right? And a lamp unto my feet. Yes, Jesus. So we love the Word of God, don't we? Do we love the Word of God?
Yes.
How many of y'all, you know, early on when you first got born again, I hope you had this strong desire to just consume it. How many of y'all just couldn't get enough of the Word of God when you first got born again? I was put in a place at my work to where I could read it for 3 or 4 hours a day because I was driving a truck 3 or 4 hours a day, and, well, not on the road. I was driving pole to pole. So I had lots of time sitting there waiting for the guy to do what he was doing on the pole to read, and God made sure that I had that. So there was a strong foundation built, and I could not get enough. I'd be like you, brother. Every spare minute, I'd be there, you know, no matter. Couldn't get enough of the Word of God. And sometimes we're tempted when we get so much in us, it's like, okay, I know that, and you can read a little bit, and you can go, well, I know where that's going, and I know where I've read that before, and you get tempted to back off on it. It's like a discipline. You ever seen anybody muscle heads? I shouldn't call them that. You ever seen anybody that's like, oh, I don't see anybody like that in here, so I'm not going to offend nobody. Oh, my muscles are going like this now, see? But you look at, say, have you ever seen anybody that just, my son got built like that for a while. I mean, just, you never look at David and think that could happen. But he did. He got some extreme muscles. But you know what? He quit lifting weights, and it probably wasn't 2 or 3 months. You'd never know. That's a bondage lifting weights, you know. You got to do it forever. But just like that with the Word of God, you need to do it forever. So, and it's a good thing. And I've been getting more disciplined we need discipline. We need discipline in our life right now more than we've ever needed discipline before in the church. There's some things coming that if you don't have the Word of God in you and if you don't have discipline in your life, you're going to have a hard time making it. It's going to be a miserable ride for you. And we don't want it to be like that, you know? Right? Praise God. So, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And we talked to this to the youth group Friday night, and they seemed receptive. Praise the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies, 1 and 2. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what we talked about Friday night, and I'm just going to partially talk about that, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about what I preached about Sunday night, because it was awesome, and they said it was awesome, and it spoke to them, praise God, and most of y'all weren't there, but that's okay. So if you're getting a rerun, praise the Lord, but God moved mightily afterwards, and the power of God came down just like you prophesied it would, Laura, and it was good. It was very good, but I just wrote down a few things here, and like I say, youth group, I printed out this scripture, and I gave it to them, and I said, by next Friday, which will be Saturday now, I want you to memorize this. You got yours memorized? Not yet? Well, no, I'm just checking. I'm going to text y'all every day to memorize it. And I challenge y'all with the same thing, to memorize the scripture. And I would say most of y'all probably already got this scripture memorized. I would think that would be a key scripture in your arsenal, you know. But if not, let's memorize this verse so we can say it together next Sunday, okay? That's a discipline, right? Why should we be transformed? Just going to go through this briefly. Why? Because it's your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service to be transformed. You get born again, right? You get born again, you get the Spirit of God living in you. It's not your reasonable service to stay like you were. You should change from glory to glory to glory. If you've been reading the Word of God for 20 years, it's not time to wave the white flag and say, I've got all that I need, I got all that I want. That's sin. That's sin. Hello? And I've been guilty of it. I had to repent. Because sometimes we get to a place where we get comfortable. And y'all, how many of y'all got a new enough car to have that little thing on the steering wheel or on the blinker thing that says cruise control? And that's what the church has been doing. We've been on cruise, and I'm not speaking to our church. I'm talking about the church in America has been on cruise control. And the thing about cruise control is it's great. It's a neat tool, but you know what? If you start dozing off, that thing will run you right in. It'll run you right into the, well, of course, the new ones have got all this technology. But we don't need to be on cruise control. We need to be about our Father's business. We are in a time and a season that we've got to see the move of God. We've got to see a move of God. We cannot do business as usual. Right? Why be transformed? Number one, it's your reasonable service to our Lord. And number two, to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God has a will. Would y'all agree? God has a will. You don't have to be a prophet to know God's will. Hello, you don't have to be a prophet to know God's will. All you got to do is have a copy of this. All you got to do is have the Holy Spirit living in you and the Holy Spirit doing something to trick you. And I shouldn't have said that. He would never trick us. But here I am going down the road, heading in a rainstorm. Well, I could make it to Billy Joe's, but I'm going to do a U-turn and I'm going to get beat butt back to Highlander Point. And God had a divine appointment. I would have missed out. She would have missed out. The kingdom of God would have missed out. God always gets his will done, but hey, don't you want to be a part of it? Listen to me, guys, listen. You don't have to be an also-ran. You don't have to be that. You can be a mighty man and woman of God, but you can't do it on cruise control. You can't do it vegging out. You cannot do that. You've got to take control of what God has got for you. I'm not mad. I'm mad at the devil. I hate the devil. Perfect hatred. Let me tell you something. You remember Pastor Chad that used to come here? They used to do services on Sunday evening here because they used to meet at a thing called The Essence. It was a Christian retreat center. Y'all remember that? I think a lot of y'all went to the first service there, didn't you? Just the Spirit of God, just the feeling on that place was so, felt good, didn't it? It felt set apart. It was built just for that purpose, a Christian retreat center. We was talking about, some pastors were talking about that joint church meeting. And somehow, I don't even know how it come up, and they said, well, that's a cult now. I'm like, what? A cult? Come on, man, that sounds like one of them, you know, urban legends or something. Oh, there's a cult meeting there now. So me and Pastor James got in his truck, and we rode over there. And I looked up their website. It is a Wiccan retreat center, for real. The Wiccans meet there. They met there last night on their new moon or their full moon deal. So, what God meant for good, The enemy has stolen and hijacked, and the people of God need to start rising. Oh, we don't need to go picket, die witches. And No, we need to start praying. But if we do that without our ammunition and our weapons and our armor on, we're going to get our butt kicked. So we've got to get prepared for all these things. And I wasn't saying this to glorify the enemy. I'm just telling you, the enemy is very active. He's doing things. There's a Buddhist temple in Corydon. My Lord, who would ever thought, you know? Anyway, I better hurry up because I got a lot to cover. But God wants His good, His acceptable, and His perfect will done. And I want His good and acceptable and perfect. Don't y'all want that for your life? Do you want to settle for just, well, you know what? I dragged in. I was in almost last place, but I finished the race. Praise God! I have no crowns. I don't have no jewels. But praise God, I'm just going to get in. My God, that's the way I went through school. Just enough to get by. Just enough to graduate. Foolish. You know, I could have went a lot further and done a lot more probably, but it's not only is it foolish, it's sinful to want to just get in heaven. It is sinful to just want to get in heaven. That is not why God shed His blood for us. He shed His blood so we could be more than conquerors. Anyway, I'll go on. So how are we going to accomplish this perfect will? Present your bodies. Crucify your flesh. Put God ahead of whatever that stands between you and God. Only you know that. And maybe some of y'all nothing. Praise God. Maybe you've got it all together. But number two, we need discipline. We need discipline back in our lives. We need fasting. We need prayer. We need to read the Word of God. We need to memorize the Word of God. You need to get... Okay, I won't say you need to. I need to start fasting again. I backed off of fasting. I used to fast faithfully 3 days a week when I was working. But man, you know, when you get out of that groove, it's easy to lose discipline in your life. And please, I'm not saying this. I don't want to lose my reward. But 2 weeks, was it 2 weeks ago, I told Donna, we need to fast. We need to fast all week. We need to fast for 5 days. And we made it liquid, so it wasn't just like one of those, you know, just starting in on water only. So we made it liquid. And I told her, I said, we must fast for a financial breakthrough. We got 6 financial breakthroughs that week, and I mean substantial breakthroughs. And I know we've been told that you don't fast to see what you can get from God, but you know what? The Bible says when there's strongholds and there's things... Remember, the disciples couldn't cast out demons. He said, this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. So if you've got some situations in your life, if you've got some family members that are stubborn as mules and they just won't come to the Lord, you've got things in your life that you want to see broken, fast. I'm not going to call a fast this week, but I'm saying it's best to partner with one other person that you can get in agreement with about that fast. So now we're, you know, now it's, you know, when you see God do mighty things like that, it's like gets exciting. When you fast and expect God to do something, it's exciting. When you fast and it's just like, oh God, I can't eat today. You know, when you know that God's going to do something, for your obedience to fast, so now is when we're going to do it. We're going to do it now as a church. We're going to do it now as people of God. And I think did y'all have this quoted fire school? If not us, who? If not now, when? You ever heard that? It was a Jewish rabbi. I didn't know that. It was Hillel, it's the one we always read that he said, you must do this to do Passover correctly. So evidently he was kind of a, I wouldn't say philosopher, but I like that. If not us, who? If not now, when? Okay, we're going to stage two. It's time to awake. Hello, it's time to awake. It's time to prophesy, and it's a time to cast off. Put on the armor of God, put on the goodness of God, and cast off. We got to cast off those things that are keeping us from attaining, you know? And some of them are demonically sent. And there is witchcraft. And there is people that want to see the church fail. There was probably witches praying against Greenville Christian Church. That stuff don't go down unless it's got some kind of Jezebel backing behind it. I don't know how many of y'all believe in the demonic, but if you've ever seen demons cast out, you need to see it because it'll make a believer out of you. It's not pretty, but it's exciting because the devil always loses. He cannot stand. He can't. Show. Now, he can stay if you want him. Welcome. You're welcome here. Come on back. Romans 13:11. Do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, let us put on the armor of light, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness, not in lust, not in strife, not in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make zero, zilch, nada, provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. I was going to show a video at the church last Sunday night, but it, you know, I couldn't get internet, and I'm sure it would be trouble here, so I said I would I'd try to act it out the best I could. So I'll try to do that for you. And please, I am not advocating this movie, but when I grew up, there was two movies that came on every year on TV. One of them was Peter Pan, and it was a musical. I guess it was, they filmed the musical, and it was a lady that played Peter Pan. It was Mary Martin. Mary Martin. You know, I was like, anyway, when you're a little kid, you can like stuff like that. And there was another one that came on every year, and it was called The Wizard of Oz. And I used to love that movie. I could probably still watch it. And I know it's got witchcraft in it. I know it's got drug. It's got all this stuff in there that if you look in deep, you'll see that it's got a lot of evil in it. But I was preparing for this sermon, and the Lord said, Holy Spirit said, I want you to use part of this movie to talk about the kingdom of God. I'm like, oh, really? Sure this is not another voice in my head? Y'all remember, I'm not going to go all the way back, but y'all remember there was a good witch and a wicked witch, which there is no such thing as a good witch. All witches are evil and operating in demons. So don't get that idea. But the good witch, was she the east or north, or I don't know what she was, the one in the white fairy outfit. She told them, she said, you must stay on the yellow brick road. If you stay on the yellow brick road, you will get to the great place of Oz. And you'll see the great Wizard of Oz. Right? Y'all know that. So they had many snares, many toils, many troubles, didn't they? And every now and then they would They get off the road, they get in the mud, and these evil, they be attacked by demons, these little flying monkeys and demons. And every time they did, if they get back on the yellow brick road and they wouldn't get their mind off track, there'd be victory, right? And they would make it to where they were going. And there's this scene where this starts, and this witch, the wicked witch of the West, she's got this big old crystal ball, and she's going like this, and she's got this little pointy hat on, and she's got a big ugly nose and warts on it. Know that witches aren't always ugly, see. Most of the time, they're probably not. Green, she's green looking, isn't she? Yeah, it looks like somebody's got demons on it. It really does. Green with envy. And she's sitting there going, and these demons are around her, these flying monkeys or whatever. And she goes, "And now, my pretty, something with poison in it." She's doing a spell. "Something with poison in it, I think, with poison in it, but attractive to the eye and soothing to the smell." And then she goes, "Poppies, poppies, poppies. We'll put them to sleep, sleep, and now they will sleep." Y'all remember that? Yeah. And man, and then it cuts away from the witch doing, she's done sent this spell, and it shows the gang. La, da, 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 da. And they're coming up the path, but they're kind of, they were like slowed down and weary. They weren't doing their usual bouncy walk. And they come over this hill. "Look, the Emerald City!" And they're like, "Whoa, there it is. We can see where we've been going. We can see what we've been after this whole trip." And they're excited. They're pumped. "We're there. We're almost there, man. We're almost to the finish line." And then somehow, I don't even know how this happened, but the yellow brick road disappears, and there's poppies all over the yellow brick road, and you can see on the other side of the poppy field where it comes out. So they start running through this poppy field, and they're excited because they've just about finished the race. They've just about got to Oz. And then she starts getting, "Oh, I'm so sleepy. I just rest for just a second. Just let me rest for just..." And the other two or three, they're going, "No, no, we got to go on. We got to go on. We got to get..." She said, "Just a little rest. Just a little sleep." And Toto's already, boom, he's already cranked out. And there goes the cowardly lion. Bam, he's out. And then Dorothy lays down, and there they are, man. They are within sight of the finish line, or I'm going to call the kingdom of heaven, because if you read Revelations, it talks about emerald. It talks about like an emerald city. But they start out running across this poppy field. They start running with grace and power to the finish line. Spears don't stop them. Bullets don't stop them. Swords don't stop them. Sleep stops them. And that's, you know, a lot of us have been running a long time. And myself, I look at the signs of the times and I go, "Whoa, this is what... Man, I've been in some kind of demonic sleep. This is what I've been waiting for ever since I first come to Jesus. I've been waiting for the signs of the times. I've been waiting for Jesus to return." And then things just get dull. It's like, what? And it just, when I watched this, I thought, man, that's just like us. We get within sight of the prize and we start getting slothful and... I don't know if that's anybody else's experience or not, but I'm not going to put up with it no more, because you know a lot of this stuff that's coming against us is sent. Do you know there's devils? Do you know there's witches? Do you know there's Satanists that want to see this church fall? Why do you think they burn it down in the first place? How much more do they hate this thing that's up on top of this hill with a big red cross on it? They don't like it. I'm not blaming our problems on Satanists. I'm not blaming our problems on witches. But our slothfulness to not stand up for the kingdom of God and not doing what we did in the first place that made us who we are and how we got as far as we have. Praise God. So, not a rebuke. Not at all. Go to Ezekiel 37. I'll close with this scripture. Well, I'll start closing. Ezekiel 37:1. I want y'all to read this if you can find it. And I know this isn't something you haven't read many times, but let's put it in context with our lives. Let's put it in context of where we live and who we are. Ezekiel, who was Ezekiel? He was a prophet, mighty prophet of God, wasn't he? The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. What's bones symbolize? Death. In fact, already dead for a while when you got bones, right? Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And he answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Notice he didn't say, prophesy to the bones what's in your mind or what's in your thoughts. He said, prophesy to the dry bones the word of the Lord. Only the word the Lord tells you. And sometimes we get in trouble when we start going against strongholds and principalities because we make vain proclamations. And we don't proclaim the word of the Lord. So we want to proclaim the word of the Lord, don't we? Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter in you. And that word breath, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it's ruah. It's wind, breath, mind, spirit, wind of heaven, breath of air, spirit of God, the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit. And so, not only a physical wind, but a breath from heaven, like what happened at Pentecost, right? It said something that sounded like a mighty roaring wind came into the house, right? And it said something like tongues of fire. Tongues of fire set on each one of them. Tongues of fire. 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 And they looked around and they saw tongues of fire. And they heard the wind come into the room. And something changed. Something changed. They were no longer beat up. They were no longer defeated. They were no longer depressed. Peter, who had denied Jesus and sold him out three times, he went out in the mighty power of God and he started quoting the Word of God, didn't he? These people, this is a strange thing going on. What could this mean? Oh, they're drunk, man. They're drunk. They're drunk. They're drunk as skunks. No, this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Fire of God, fire of God, victory of God, fire of God, fire of God, fire of God. And it said he preached to them boldly. And 3,000 people came to Jesus. 3,000 people. Look at this. There's maybe 40 in here, and I got to have a microphone. He didn't have no kind of sound system but the Holy Ghost. I love it. Verse 5, thus says the Lord God of these bones, surely I will cause Ruach to enter you. I will cause the Holy Spirit to enter you, and you will live. I will put sinews on you and flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put Ruach in you, breath in you, and you will live. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. Now, prophesying can be God showing you things that you don't know. God is saying, I see Jerry, I see you driving an ice cream truck in Haiti. You could get any kind of word from God, and it would be from God. That's true. But you can also prophesy the word of God that's already in here. You can prophesy this word of God to situations, to people, to Wiccan retreat centers. You can prophesy what the Word of God says about that kind of thing. You can prophesy mercy on the people that go there, salvation on the people that go there. Not judgment, but salvation, praise God. You know, one of those Elijah things where fire comes down from heaven. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no Ruach. There was no spirit in them. There was no life in them. They were just bodies. They were just dead bodies. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy Ruach. Prophesy to the Holy Spirit. Enter these dead bodies. See, I think it's kind of what happened. Like when Dave Hogan prays for dead people, he prophesies. Didn't work for me. I've tried it several times. Of course, I don't fast every other day for the rest of my life. You know, how bad do I want? How bad do I want what God's got for me? By the way, I prophesy to you, by the time Dave Hogan gets here, he's just going to be adding to the fire, because God is going to send a fire. God is going to send the Holy Spirit here without measure. We're going to see signs and wonders and visions. We're going to see the sick healed, and it's going to be an exception when they're not healed. I've seen more people healed in the food pantry in the last 2 months than I've seen the whole time. I mean, confirmed healings. Did I tell y'all, I probably told y'all Wednesday night, the most incredible thing, hey, you were there. There's this lady that came in to the food pantry, and I remember the first time she came, she was only one of three people that ever refused prayer. And I perceived she was a Wiccan. She was a nature worshiper. I mean, you can just tell by talking to somebody pretty quick where they're coming from. She said, I said, what can I pray for you about? She said, I don't need prayer. This is months, year, maybe a year ago. I said, well, I'll just pray for you. I'll just pray for you what the Holy Spirit shows me. She says, no, I don't want you to pray for me. And I politely said, okay, no problem. I said, well, if you want food, then you must get prayer. Oh, that's so unchristian-like. I even questioned myself afterwards a little bit, you know? It's like, that was kind of hard. But I prayed for it, and really, it was cold. I didn't feel a whole lot of anointing in the prayer. Like praying for the Wicked Witch of the West, you know? It was like, whoa. Anyway, 2 weeks ago, Nana and I both prayed for her, and she had these horrible stomach, it appeared to me the kind of pain she was having would have been like ulcers or something, and she's having these migraine headaches, and she was having one right then. And so we laid hands on her and prayed for her, and she left. She came back last week, and she'd already got her food, so she could have snuck out of there. It happens, you know. She came back in and said, oh, I don't want to leave without getting prayer. She said, you will never, ever guess what happened 2 weeks ago. As I was going out the door, my headache left and my stomach pains left, and they haven't been back since. And I said, praise God. I was happy and excited for her. And I said, you know what? Would you like to give your life to Jesus? She said, yeah, I think I would. This is a lady that would not let you pray for her a year ago. The signs and wonders, some people need that to believe. So why wouldn't God give that to us if we need it? So I'm excited. I'll hurry up. I told you I was closing, but I haven't read this yet. Which one did I read? I don't want to read it over again. Did I read 9? Okay, let's go to 9. He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the Ruah, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath, Ruah, spirit came into them, and they lived. And they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. And he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, they'd lost hope. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. Verse 14, I will put my Ruah in you, and you will live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it. So here's the problem. How many of y'all got prophecies that you knew when they were spoken over you? It was like you knew that you knew. It lined up with something you already knew in your heart, and it's like confirmation. Y'all ever had them? Really, if you have, raise your hand. I want to know how many of y'all have ever had a prophecy that you knew was God. Have you ever had a prophecy that, boy, that sounded good, but it didn't really confirm nothing in my spirit, so I'm going to put it on the shelf? I've had more of them than I have the other ones, okay? And I'm not saying they're not God. I'm just saying they didn't confirm nothing in me. But those that confirm things in me, you know, when you receive a word that you know is the word of God, you know in your heart of hearts it's the word of God, I don't have to tell you to believe that, right? You believe that is God, right? But that's where it stops most of the time. And that's why there's a whole lot of prophecies out there that may never, ever come to fruition. And somebody might get blamed for being a false prophet, but really, it's a slothful receiver. What do I mean by that? It means you got to believe first, because what's the Bible say? Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Those who believe not will be damned. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? So we must believe. And then we must prophesy that prophecy. You speak it over yourself. It just depends, folks, how bad you want it, really. You got to prophesy that prophecy. And then you got to command things to happen. We have got away from commanding the blessings of God, commanding the will of God to come. And I'm not talking about, just like Jerry earlier, I'm not talking about name it and claim it. I'm not talking about that at all. But God's going to prosper a whole lot of people financially in the next year, or maybe a couple, 3 months. And He's going to expect those people to sow it all right back into the kingdom of God. And then, of course, God's going to bless that 10,000-fold, and He wants them to sow it back into the kingdom of God. That's His will. That's His desire for the church. That's His desire for the church. His desire is for the Wiccan Center to be removed. That's too close to Highway 150. That is not allowed. That's not allowed. They're trespassing on holy ground. You need to prophesy to these empty seats here. That's not God. It's not God that there's an empty seat in. It's not God that we don't have as many seats in here as we did when Jerry Hill was here. That's not God. The kingdom of God is not made up of celebrities. It's not. Sorry. If God had wanted Jerry Hill to be here, Steve and Jerry Hill would be pastors of this church. That don't mean it'd be exploded and big. That was not His will. His will that you are here, and God has promised us things. God has promised us to harvest. He's promised us signs and wonders. He's promised us to have a paid-off building. He's promised us that church at the bottom of the hill. He's promised us Greenville, Indiana. He's promised us the Highway 150 corridor from Quad Cities, Iowa, to Mount Vernon, Kentucky, or turn it around the other way. That's what He has promised us. And He also promised us not only Highway 150, but He said, take a protractor. He didn't say take a protractor. He said, you will have a 100-mile score of influence. Amen. So you put your protractor on there, and that sucker goes up around Tennessee. And that you wouldn't believe how big an area that is. I believe it takes in Cincinnati, I think. 100 air miles. It takes in a huge, huge place. And you go, but yeah, we can't even fill this building up. No, we can't. But Ruah can. Yeah, right. Ruah can. So, let's prophesy. Stand up. Let's prophesy. Let's prophesy. I only want to prophesy the word of the Lord, too. I don't want to prophesy nothing out of my soul. Do you? Let's prophesy the things that we know that we know that we know are God's will, okay? And here's how we're going to get started. We are a full gospel church. That's right. That's right. I used to say we're about half or three quarters gospel because we don't see everything that the church saw at Pentecost. Pentecostal church was full gospel. But here's what we're going to do. And I want you to do this in faith, okay? Because God has given every one of y'all a voice. Take somebody's hand next to you. Tell you what, can we just make a line across here? I want everybody to be hooked up, everybody connected. Can we do that without too much hassle? Hassle. I want you to, by faith, start praying in the Spirit. And when you do, we're going to pray for an interpretation. And God's going to give you an interpretation to prophesy. But first, we're going to prophesy a few things together. Let's start praying in the Spirit. Shinda barebi kida bakura baba sana marebi kida bakura badea. Haraba shanda raba bugura ba kida batea. Start proclaiming the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is over my mind. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is over this house. The blood of Jesus is over Greenville, Indiana. The blood of Jesus is over my family. The blood of Jesus is over my home, my property lines. Ho! Ho! The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. We're thankful for the blood. Buraba sanda raba kura baba sinda bakura baba sana na 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 marea tia. Nuraba sanda basa. Let's say this together. I prophesy.
I prophesy.
My family.
My family.
Me. And
my household
will be saved
quickly
this year
in
Jesus' name.
In
Jesus' name.
I prophesy.
I rebuke
the
devourer that has come into my home, that has tore up my property, that has stolen from me, that has brought depression into my home. I prophesy that you're defeated. I prophesy the blood of Jesus on you. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Horaba sanda ba re shi kata ba kora ba rea. Ne se te kutu kutu kota ba sa ta ba sea. Sona ma siya ta ba kora ba se te ke tea. Horaba sanda ba re be ki da ba kora ba rea. Nure be si da da ba kora ba sana na na ba rea. We prophesy. I prophesy to you fear. You spirit of fear. You spirit of lack. I prophesy to you. And I command you to hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord says, fear, you're going down. Fear, the word of the Lord says that God, my good God, my good Father has not given me a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. I prophesy it, I proclaim it, I receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Mighty God. My, give him. Start prophesying to those empty seats that were here today. Start prophesying. The saints of God would wake up. Start prophesying to them. Seats, you be filled in Jesus' name. Home, you be filled. We prophesy for chairs. We're going to have to buy chairs in Jesus' name. All those 50 in the kitchen would be a good start, Lord. We'll move them right in here. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, we prophesy signs and wonders and miracles, healings, deliverance. And we prophesy it, God. It ain't going to be through Pastor Mark. Oh, it will be. It will be, but it's going to be, put your hand right here, through me. It will come through me. The power of God is in me. The power of God's just wanting out of me. Oh, Lord, make a way. Make an opening. Make an opening, God. Give me a divine appointment today, God. Today, God. Today, God. Give us so many divine appointments, there won't be time to preach next week. It'll be testimony, 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 testimony. And God, those people won't just wake out of their sleep for a second. They'll come to the house of God. They'll come to celebrate at the house of God in Jesus' name. We prophesy. I speak by the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, that no weapon formed against me, my family, my church, my corridor, my nation, Israel, will prosper. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I prophesy and I break, not by my power, not by my might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. I break, known and unknown, every curse, every spell, every hex, every incantation, voodoo, destruction rituals. I make them of no effect by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus. I forbid these things to operate in my life, in my family, in my church, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, show me. Some of us are suffering some things that are demonic. Some of us are suffering some things that are witchcraft. Some of us are suffering sickness and stuff, and it's not God's will. It's not God's will that we have to be like that. It's not God's will that we have to be sick. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And some of it's sent. Okay? So start prophesying to your body to be healthy in Jesus' name. Don't allow that devil to come in and steal. Who? Lord, we prophesy to this church, God, that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Let's say that. We prophesy to this church called Faith Harvest Assembly. That your kingdom, Lord Jesus, would come to Faith Harvest. And your will will be done right here in Greenville, Indiana, right here on this hill on Buttontown Road, like it is in heaven. And make us a blessing to this community, God. Make me a blessing, oh God, that we could love people in such a way that they would be hungry, and they would know there's a God that loves them. And you know that what you told Opal, that's so true. When people know that you love them, I'm not saying you just love them and let it go at that. You got to tell them at some point in time why you love them, because Jesus in you. Otherwise, you wouldn't give a rip about them people, but it's only Jesus. So God, bless these saints of God, Lord. Bless them, God. They're the mighty ones. They're the set apart ones. They're the remnant. And where two or more of us are gathered, Jesus, your word says that you are right there in the midst. So, God, we know you're here. I know that Ruach, the breath of God, dwells. And every one of us that believe on Jesus, every one of us. Oh, Lord, Jesus, forgive us when we've been slothful. I prophesy to any laziness, any slothfulness, God, any poppy type curses that have put us to sleep Lord, I wake up. I'm waking up, God. I'm waking up. I see the Emerald City. I read about the signs of the times. I read about the things that will be going on before you return. God, I'm awake. God, I know that I've been chosen to serve you in a time like this, Jesus. Is anybody physically, you know there's things on you, it's not from God, and that He can heal it and He wants to heal it? Is there anybody like that? Lay hands. Lay hands on Laura right now in Jesus' name. Just keep going after God. And I'm glad you keep asking, because it says ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, and knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open. Who else? Come on. You sure can. Mike, go after it. And whoever wants to, whoever's a warrior, agree. Agree. Somebody, has anybody been having arthritic type symptoms, stiffness, like in your back, in your spine? You have? Come on over here and let somebody take your place. Who's been, and you have too, honey? Come here. Y'all too, come here. How many of y'all been freed from something like this? Anybody been freed from those type symptoms? Come on up here, Hannah. Well, you don't have to know what it is. You just know what the symptoms are. You got that too? You know what? I got that too. I want prayer too. I want to, because it's neurological. I know that it's some kind of, because I've been getting dizzy spells. I've been getting all this crazy stuff I've never had before. Stiffness in my joints and bones. And I could say it's from working hard for 30, but that's a bunch of bull. He has created me to go for 80 good years, he told me. So I'm going to subtract all the years that weren't that good. Come on up here and let's lay hands on us. Who else has got something? It wasn't mentioned. You got something? Stiffness? Well, you get it right in here. Anybody else? Okay. Y'all just make a circle. Y'all take hands. Let's make a circle with everybody that's experiencing this. Are you too? No kidding. This is a curse. Grab hands. Everybody make a circle here so we can surround you. Everybody that, you got that symptom, Mike? Come on, we need some help praying for all you totally healthy ones. Get up here. Come on up here. Holly, get on up here and start laying hands. Dan, start laying hands on me. Upon this place, and blow mighty breath of God, that you move in power. Cry out for His presence.